morning, church.
Morning.
Thank you, Becky. Have y'all ever just had one of those weeks where it just seems like one thing after the other just keeps happening? You know, I've known I was preaching this week for a while, and so I carved out some time to prep. And every time I went to go prep, something else happened. So I finally get to Thursday afternoon. I went to lunch. I had a meeting. We had a new person join our church. Praise the Lord. And I came back from lunch on Thursday. I'm like, okay, I'm going to lock in. I'm going to sermon prep. I walk in. I open the door. The alarms are going off. We have no Wi-Fi. We have kind of power, but not really. There's mild panic that there might be permanent damage to the lighting. And I'm like, of course this is happening. So I got my stuff and I went home and I tried to prep while also having a 2-year-old at the house. And then this morning, and we've already seen it, right? The beginning of the service and Jeff's microphone doesn't work. But this morning was the cherry on top. Because I'm laying in bed, you know, I have my head on my pillow, nice and relaxed. And then all of a sudden I hear it. Cheep. 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 And I'm like, just go back to sleep. It'll go away. Just go to sleep. Because downstairs, 2-story house, downstairs. I'm like, it's not that loud. I can go back to sleep. Cheep. I look at my watch. It's 3:25 in the morning. Because of course it is. That was 3:25. At 3:41, this is what I'm doing. I have dragged the dining room table over. I have placed a step stool on top of the dining room table. I know, don't tell OSHA, okay? I know it's not safe, but I didn't want to hear the cheeping anymore. And my wife and 2 kids were still asleep. And so I climb up there. Praise the Lord, I actually had a 9-volt battery. Because, yeah. You know, it would have been my luck that I didn't have a 9-volt battery. I changed that thing. I went back to my bed. I'm like, okay, I can get like another hour and a half of sleep. Nope, I was awake. So this morning is powered by a lot of prayer from people, the Holy Spirit, and an unplanned energy drink. So if I seem a little all over the place, wasn't planning on being fueled by an energy drink this morning. But we're here. And if you've... this is my favorite thing. I'll say it when I can. Blessed are the flexible, for they don't get bent out of shape. All right? So if you have your copy of God's word, I would encourage you to turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, starting in verse 3. As we continue our series, Secrets of the Kingdom. And last week, Pastor Jason walked through the purpose of parables and why Jesus spoke in them. Not everyone sees. Not everyone understands. But parables reveal truth, but they also expose hearts. It raises the question, how is it possible that 2 people can sit in the same room, hear the same message, and walk away with 2 completely different outcomes? One walks away changed, and the other walks away untouched. It's the same message, same moment, the completely different outcomes. Why? Well, Jesus is going to answer that question here in Matthew 13. This is what he teaches us. He teaches us that the difference is not the seed. The difference is the soil. So let's study this parable together this morning, starting here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 3. And a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now remember, Jesus, as we see this in verses 1 and 2, and the great crowds gathered around him, so he got in the boat and sat down. So he's teaching the multitude. This is everybody. But then later on in verse 18, which is where we're going to spend our time this morning, Jesus is explaining the parable to the disciples. And Jesus doesn't leave them guessing, which I love. He tells them exactly what the story means. Not everybody gets the explanation, but they do. And so that means 2,000 years later, we also get the explanation. He doesn't leave us guessing. He tells us exactly what he means, and this is what we find. That the parable of the sower is not a farming story. It's a heart diagnostic. And here's the first thing that we learn. The seed isn't the problem. The seed isn't the problem. Glancing back at the parable, there's one sower, there's one seed, there's one message, and it's scattered everywhere. The sower isn't making adjustments. He's not filtering anything. He's not tailoring the seed for specific soil. It's the same seed. It's the same message. And Jesus tells us in verse 19 that the seed is the word of the kingdom. That's the gospel. That's the truth. That's the word of God. And here's what we have to understand. God's word doesn't change. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 10 through 11 say this, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." His word doesn't return void. It accomplishes exactly what he sends it to do. And so if the word isn't working, if it doesn't seem to be taking root, if it doesn't seem to be producing anything, the problem isn't the word. Friends, if the word isn't taking root in your life, if it doesn't seem to be working, Jesus tells us to examine our hearts. We have to ask God to change what we cannot. And so returning to the parable, the sower here, he doesn't hold back in scattering the seed everywhere. The seed is thrown on hard paths. The seed's thrown on rocky grounds. The seed's thrown on thorny soil. Why? Because God is generous with his word. He's not stingy with it. He scatters it everywhere, in every room, to everyone, which means this, that you are hearing seed right now, in this moment, in this room. So the question isn't whether the seed is good. The question is, what is the seed landing on? And that's the next point, that the soil reveals the heart. The soil reveals the heart. Jesus begins to explain these different parables, and this is where it's going to get personal. Because Jesus isn't describing four types of dirt. He's describing four types of hearts. And so let's look at heart number one, the hard heart. Verse 19, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path." This is the path. It's hard. It's packed down. It's unreceptive. The seed never gets in. It just sits on the surface and then it's gone. And just to clarify, this is, Jesus says, does not understand. He's not talking about intelligence here. He's talking about reception. And so it's not that you can't understand, it's that you're not letting the seed land. And so what does that look like today? Distracted, disengaged, completely closed off to the gospel. You're here, but you're not really here. Maybe you came because someone, you feel like they expected you to be here, or parents might have brought you. You hear it, but you don't receive it. You can sit under the word and never let it in. And over time, that does something to you. A heart gets hard when you hear truth and don't respond. So when conviction comes, you delay. You treat it like a suggestion instead of a signal. And the danger isn't that you miss it one time. The danger is that you get used to not responding. And Jesus says that the enemy doesn't create the hardness. He just takes advantage of it. The enemy is actively working to snatch the word away, but he often works with a heart that's already resistant. Seed sits there, evil one comes and snatches it away. You can sit under the word for years and never let it in. So when was the last time you actually let the word in? That's the hard heart. Let's look at the second heart that Jesus talks about. Verse 22 and 21. The shallow heart. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. This one looks promising at first. It's quick. It's emotional. It's enthusiastic. There's an immediate response of like, yes, I want this. There's joy, there's energy, there might even be some noticeable change. But Jesus says something's missing. The root. There's no depth beneath the surface. There's no slow, steady foundation. There's no anchoring in truth. And so when life gets hard, and the trials come, and when there's suffering that shows up, when obedience becomes costly, when following Jesus actually requires something of you, your faith doesn't just struggle, it collapses. And so what looked like faith actually was just a moment that never took root. We all know what a fair weather fan looks like. You know, we've got some, the hockey started yesterday, playoffs, Stars did not do too good. Man, some teams might come on in the playoffs and all of a sudden this person that you never knew was a certain fan of that team is wearing a jersey and posting about the team winning. And you're like, where did this come from? And then before you know it, that team's not winning again and you never hear that person talk about their team again. That jersey goes back in the closet and that's the end of it. Now, if the Cowboys ever get close to making a Super Bowl, y'all better not be dusting off those Cowboy jerseys that have been hiding in your closet for 30 or 40 years. That's a fair weather fan. Now, we laugh at it, but some of us have the same relationship with Jesus. We're all in when it feels good. We're close to God when things are going our way. But when it gets hard, when following him costs something, we quietly distance ourselves. The enthusiasm was real, but it was never rooted. Because emotional excitement, friends, is not the same thing as spiritual depth. Feelings can start something. They can be a flame, but feelings cannot sustain faith. Roots only grow over time. We got some people in this room, I'm already looking around, that like to garden. Not me, but I at least understand root systems. They take time. It takes consistency. For us in faith, it's obedience. It's staying when it would be easier to walk away. So the question isn't, well, did I respond to the word at some point in my life? It's a question we have asked too many times. The real question should be, am I being rooted right now? So a shallow faith will not survive real life, but a rooted faith, a deep, steady, anchored faith, can withstand pressure, it can withstand suffering, and it can withstand cost and still stand. So Jesus has explained the hard heart and the shallow heart, and now he's going to move to the divided heart. The divided heart, verse 22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This one's harder to spot. It's subtle. Because something real is happening here. The seed has taken root. it starts to grow. There's visible life. From the outside, it looks like success. But over time, something else is growing there too. And it's stronger. And Jesus names it here in the text. He says it's the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. Not bad things necessarily, just dominant things. So the issue isn't that you've rejected God. The issue is that you've crowded him out. Friends, the issue with a divided heart isn't that you don't want God. It's that you want too many other things more. And when the danger with this is how normal it feels, nobody wakes up and is like, I think I'm going to choke out the word today. No, it just happens over time. It's slower. It's quieter. It's one more responsibility. It's one more financial goal. It's one more layer of pressure. It's one more pursuit of comfort until ultimately and eventually there's no room left. And so these things don't attack your faith. They just quietly suffocate your faith. You're still in church. You're still listening. You're still around it. But the word isn't bearing any fruit. Not because the word wasn't true, but because the word wasn't first. So the hard heart, the shallow heart, the divided heart, and lastly, the receptive heart. Verse 23, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another case 60, in another case 30. This is the goal of the parable. Not just hearing, not just reacting, but truly receiving. The person doesn't just listen to the word. They let the word take root. It moves from their ears to their heart to their life. And the person who sits under, this is the person that sits under the word on Sunday, whether it be here hearing a sermon preached or studying God's word in a Bible study, and they're still chewing on that word on Wednesday. It's the person that feels conviction of sin and doesn't just acknowledge and move on, but they repent and they seek God's help in turning away. It's the person who's a disciple that's making a disciple, who's been walking with Jesus long enough that the people around him know that there's something different about them. And Jesus says the evidence is simple. How do we know? How do we know if it's a receptive heart? And Jesus says the answer is fruit. It's fruit. It's not your intention. It's not your knowledge. It's not your activity. It's fruit. Real, visible change over time. A life that increasingly reflects Jesus. And notice what Jesus says, because this is the really encouraging part for a lot of us in the room. He says that not all fruit looks the same. Some yield 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Different levels of fruit, but they all show the same sign of life. And so if you're sitting here thinking, well, I mean, I'm not spiritually, or I'm not where that person is over there. That's not the measure. The measure is something growing? Because 30-fold, friends, is still fruit. And fruit is still life. So we don't compare. We also don't get complacent. The mark of a healthy heart isn't perfection. The mark of a healthy heart is fruit. And fruit takes time. It grows slowly and quietly, but consistently. My buddy Jeremy texted me last week on Wednesday and let me know that he was getting back in the gym and he was lifting weights for the first time in a while. And I was excited for him. And so I texted him a couple days later, checked in. Hey, you're still going? Because those first couple days, you get a little sore, Jim, and you don't want to keep going. But I texted him a couple days later. Yeah, I'm still going. Well, I texted him on Thursday of this week, and I said, hey, are you yoked yet? And if you're sitting there and you're like, why did he just start talking about eggs for some reason? Yoked is just like a way of saying got a lot of muscles. So like, Corey over there, Corey is yoked. Corey, can you stand up? I didn't. Come on, Corey. Show us, Corey. Come on. Yeah. Did we plan this? No. Did Corey know I was going to do that? No. Do I hope Corey will forgive me and keep coming back on Sundays? I'm pretty sure he will. All right. Corey is yoked. And so my friend texted me back. He's like, no, you know I can't get jacked in 1 week. And of course I know that. You don't walk into the gym and do one workout or work out for 1 week and end up looking like Corey. It takes time. It takes repetition. It takes going over and over, showing up again and again. And our faith works the same way. You don't hear one sermon and become spiritually mature. Fruit comes from consistency, from showing up to the word, to prayer, to obedience over and over, even when you can't see the results yet. So the question isn't, am I perfect? The question is God's word actually changing me? Because when the word takes root, fruit is inevitable. And here's what Jesus is getting at too. The soils are not about personality. Soil's not about background. The soil's not about intelligence. They reveal something deeper. They reveal your response to the word is your condition of your heart. It's not what you say. It's not what you feel in the moment, but what actually grows. So because at the end of the day, the fruit tells the truth. So let's bring it all in. I'm going to wrap up with this. Because the parable is not a parable for those people over there. This parable is a parable for you. It's a parable for me. So the good news for all of us in this room is that God is in the business of changing soil. The hard hearts can be broken up. Shallow hearts can be deepened. Distracted hearts can be cleared. And that's what the gospel does. So if today, if you're sitting there and you're like, man, I think my heart is on the rocky ground or the thorny soil or the hard path, know that God longs to transform it. And the transformation just simply begins with confessing your sin. Say, Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a savior. And I trust that you are who you say you are. That you lived a perfect, sinless life. You died on the cross, and 3 days later, you rose and conquered death. And you are offering me salvation as a free gift of grace. Just start by surrendering your life to him. For those of us in the room that are in Christ, cultivating good soil in our hearts is a continuous, intentional process. And it begins with how we engage God's word. So, how do we do that? Well, one, we don't just hear, we receive. Jesus ends the parable to the crowds in verse 9 by saying, he who has ears, let him hear. He's not just talking about physically, like, okay, well, if you have ears, obviously listen to what I'm saying. He's talking about spiritually. Because Sunday hearing doesn't just equal transformation. We have to receive the word. We have to let the word in and to respond with it in obedience. Not just nod, not just agree, not just an amen every once in a while, but actually submit to the word. Because if all we ever do is hear and we never respond, we're just training our hearts to stay unchanged. And when we receive the word, it's where depth begins, which is number two, go deeper. Go deeper. If your faith has no roots, it won't last. So we have to build depth. How do we do that? Intentional time in the word. I heard a pastor say, continue to get into the word until the word gets into you. Just spend time building roots in the word. Prayer. Spend more time in prayer. Consistency. And doing life in genuine biblical community where you're where people know what's going on with you, they're able to hold you accountable, you can hold them accountable. Not hype, not moments, depth. Depth. Number three, clear the clutter. Now, I think this is the one that probably hits closest to home for most of us here in the room. Most of us haven't rejected God. Most of us aren't currently running from him. But if we're honest, we have let so many other things grow up around him in his word that the word doesn't have room to produce what it's meant to produce. So we have to ask ourselves, what is choking out God's word in my life right now? Is it busyness? Is it money? Is it stress? Is it comfort? Name it. Because whatever competes with the word eventually chokes it out. Number four, expect fruit. Expect fruit, not perfection, but change, growth, obedience, transformation. Because when the word takes root, it produces something. And God is sowing his word still today. Every week, every message, every moment like this. The seed is good. The message is clear. So the question isn't about the word. It's about your heart. So I'm going to leave you with this question, and then we'll move into a time of response. What kind of soil is the word landing on today? Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you do not withhold it from us, that you've given it to us freely and in abundance. God, that we don't have to guess about who you are. We have access to you, and so we thank you. So God, in this moment, as we're preparing to respond, whether that's by standing and singing or coming down and praying with a minister or a prayer partner, let us each just take a moment and say, God, examine my heart. If I'm being really honest today, has my heart become hardened? Is it too shallow? Is there not deep roots that have taken place that need to grow? Is it distracted? Are there things in my life that are choking out your word? It's another responsibility at my kid's school. It's another thing on the to-do list. Or God, maybe it is the receptive heart. And just, God, we sit here and just say thank you. Thank you for consistency. Thank you for fruit being produced. So Jesus, in this time, God, I pray that if there is somebody in this room, that the seed has not yet gotten through a hard heart, or it's being choked out, or it was just a moment that didn't actually take root, God, I pray in this moment that you would just begin to soften hearts. This wasn't the greatest sermon in the world. This isn't the greatest music in the world, even though they're awesome praise team. There's nothing fancy. There's no fog machines. There's no lights. There's nothing that's going to emotionally move anybody. Only you, Holy Spirit. And so begin to move in the hearts of people in this room as we stand and respond together. Amen.